see me?
I can. You're right in the picture. I appreciate you coming on the program tonight.
For sure. Thanks for having me on the show.
And, of course, it's sort of early evening here. What time is it there?
Here it is 2:32 in the morning.
Wow. Now, that is pure dedication, man. We're going to, and because of that, we're going to get your message out.
Nice. I appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you coming on the program, Greg, of superstatemic.ly. First of all, I got to know an explanation for that. What is the dot? I got the first part, but what's the dot ly on there?
So dot ly is just a it's just a domain category.
Sure. Okay.
And actually, so it's used a lot nowadays because people say things like Calendly, and it's just a fun way to do it. But it's actually based out of Libya because it's the country of Libya's country code. Interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you just go online and you can buy an LY domain name if it suits you. Yeah.
Okay. Super aware intelligent machine. Now, am I pronouncing that? Is it SIAM?
Same.
Same. Say like same. Okay. I thought. Yeah. Okay. Just like the words. Super aware intelligent machines. Now, Greg, they are developing machines that are all designed, that they say, to help us out. And now, are you among those that believe that these are nefarious attempts, or not nefarious attempts, but these are attempts to elevate mankind, to bring us to a higher level? Or what's your point of view on the machine?
I think in some cases there may be people that are kind of with that focus. I would say in general, people, companies, mainly corporations and governments, because they're the ones that have the resources to kind of develop this stuff. Not necessarily developing it with, human well-being necessarily as being the most important thing. And in fact, if you think about how some of this stuff is, say defense departments and stuff like that in different countries, especially China, U.S., Russia, etc., develop weapons and so forth. You can think of it as them trying to do that with inside of, spark an intelligence inside of a box, and that is not necessarily going to be a good thing if they're successful at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that they will be successful at doing that faster than said intelligence will emerge through the internet and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Every scientific movie I've ever seen, science fiction movie I've ever seen, that shows the future, in particular with advanced machines or artificial intelligence or supercomputers, never turns out good. It always sort of breaks down then after they're built, with the promise of great things to come and to help mankind evolve. But then it always breaks down to some sort of dictatorial regime that puts people in prisons. What's your view of the future if we took artificial intelligence as far as it could go?
Yeah, so I think in the end it's going to turn out in a positive manner. In other words, this increasing intelligences that will kind of emerge from machines will be acting on behalf of humanity in general. But I do think we'll go through a period where it's not so great, where it could potentially serve the needs of a government that doesn't have our interest in mind and so forth. And that's what really a lot of governments and corporations are racing to, so that they have that power. I don't think they're specifically thinking, okay, we're going to smash humanity into an ant now, but rather they're just thinking, this is how we continue to win in the world, is by developing this increasingly smart intelligence. I think in general the movies, the way the movies play that out, just kind of more plays into the way that we as humans like to, be entertained, in terms of, very simplistic good versus evil kind of approach. I see it being more like when social media arose. It's this really big monolithic thing, and it's kind of hard to understand its impact on humanity.
Mm-hmm.
In some parts of the world it causes revolutions to happen and so forth. In other parts of the world, it causes, maybe the truth to come out about the way the world is run, and people to get smarter slowly, but smarter over time and so forth. So that's kind of how I think of it.
Mm-hmm. the increasing presence of AI is being accelerated by the quantum D-Wave computers. Now, the developer of the quantum computer said that standing next to this machine is like standing next to an alien god. Were you aware of that statement?
I was not aware of that statement. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely, like, if you look at the tech world and so forth, there's definitely like a fetishization. AI is fetishized in a way, where a lot of people believe it's going to be like a godlike figure and that sort of thing. I don't really believe that. I think that, again, that just plays into our simplistic ways of thinking about good versus evil and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. I think it's more going to be really an extension of our existing intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have a positive view of that. China is using a sort of a social credit score system to where if you don't say the right things, if you make the wrong post, if your dog craps in somebody else's yard and you don't pick it up, you get a decreasing value of your social score, which can affect whether or not there are some people have not even been allowed to board airplanes because they're checked first. Those scores are developed by this artificial intelligence algorithms. And so in place in one of the largest populated countries in the world, that is what's going on. Now, are you seeing that as that trend is going to reverse?
I do think so. I mean, I think that's definitely a huge concern, obviously, such manipulation of people and so forth. But I do think eventually the same technology, the same AI will actually lead to the Chinese government, for example, being overturned because the collective intelligence of the people will be so great that they see this thing, this surveillance tool that's being used against them, as being something that needs to be removed. So I kind of have that. I kind of see it really, truly representing the collective intelligence mm-hmm. of people, and therefore helping us.
That resistance didn't work out so well for the guy in Tiananmen Square when he stood against the tank there. In the end, the state fought back. And I appreciate your positive view of that, but I almost say to sort of bring them together, then is there a sort of a race between the state and it's wanting to use the apparatus of technology to control its population versus the people who have access to, say, internet free information, worldwide information, and developing their own programs to battle back? Is there a race going on?
Yeah, there is a race. I mean, I think I don't think it's been acknowledged as a race so far, but yes, I definitely believe there's a race between governments, corporations, and people in general. And the way that's happening, in a way that corporations and governments are developing their intelligence inside of box, inside of closed systems. Meanwhile, there's stuff that's happening on blockchain and Bitcoin and so forth that where the technology is being used to make the stuff transparent. So if you think about all the different AIs in the world, there's a lot of them now that work, function on everything from Google Maps to disease detection software to stock trading bots and so forth, all these different AIs. But these AIs really are not smart enough yet to have contacts and conduct conversations and so forth. So you could say, okay, the government's corporations are doing this. They'll get to the point where it is super intelligent. But I believe what's going to happen is you'll see continued development of blockchain, which has already gotten billions and billions of dollars in investment, will continue to do so, and the blockchains will facilitate the kind of merger of these different AIs into one that outpaces what the corporations and governments mm-hmm. are doing. And so that's an outcome that I believe will happen, but also I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this is kind of part of the reason why I started doing this work, because I feel if we focus attention on this, we can actually increase the likelihood that that happens, because people will invest in these things and will be interested in developing a super intelligence that really represents our needs and so forth before mm-hmm. The opposite happens.
For the opposite, it seems to me the opposite has a head start, because those running the corporations now, although they're trying to find their feet, mainly from what I can see, being in the information business, you know, with my YouTube channel and TuneIn Radio channel and our various outlets that we have in this program, I mean, you know, and everyone else. I mean, just today, I got a message from a friend of mine whose entire YouTube channel was deleted. And then same day, today, I got another note from another person who's had got dinged, penalized from YouTube, and somebody else had got 3 days in Facebook jail, and somebody else was just getting out of Facebook jail after a month. So when you're talking about, you know, the bringing AI to help mankind right now, what I see, the people in control of AI, the majority are really in the social media era. Now, I know they're in weapon systems and governmental systems. They're trying to get that into the governmental systems better than it is. But we out here in the land now are feeling the effects of AI, Greg, and I'm not seeing positive effects.
Yeah, so, you know, if you think about, like, Facebook and YouTube and Google and so forth, they have this huge opportunity to to govern us right now, even though we haven't really granted them power except for by giving our data and so forth and putting it in our system. So on blockchain, there are a bunch of different blockchain systems which are trying to change that paradigm by creating Facebooks and YouTubes and so forth that don't give that power to them, but rather allow us to kind of really control how the our content and so forth is put out into the world, mm-hmm. and to not be able to for have somebody in a position of power to say no, you can't do this or you can't do that. Truly, a place where freedom of speech and freedom of expression lives and cannot be stopped. So I think that's the promise with blockchain, and so this is kind of part of the reason why I see this blockchain, the foundation of these technologies through blockchain, is very important to the future of our freedom of speech and all the other stuff that's being kind of hampered now by corporations that may have a political view or, mm-hmm. or not that influences who they mm-hmm. decide mm-hmm. they give permission to.
Well, the person I mentioned earlier, their YouTube channel consisted of a lot of videos of Hollow Earth. Now, I don't know what kind of threat that poses, and I don't know what kind of community standards that supposedly violates. Nobody has really even found out what the community standards are. They seem to be a moving target, so even if you knew what it was, it wouldn't matter, yeah. because if they don't like what you're saying for whatever reason, then they're going to block you away. And I was discussing this with my wife today, and you're talking about the eventuality of blockchain aiding in the development of competitors in this field of information, and even your information needs to be available even for those that are watching. Of course, now those that are watching that may disagree with what you're saying. The point of this program is to let everybody have a platform, everybody have a say. You know, I've had people who are vehemently against what you're talking about today. So, you know, but everybody needs to have a voice. But we were discussing that these secondary platforms would not work unless instantly a majority of people moved over to them. Now, blockchain might be a slower developing, and it might be a developing situation going on there, but in general, there's not going to be another YouTube or another Facebook. I think others have tried, and there's like three people on them, and nobody goes over there. Populations yeah. worldwide would have to say, they'd have to talk to each other and say, this day we're all going to move over to this, and I'm not seeing that. Do you think there's any possibility that could happen if the technology, the opposing technology existed?
Yeah, I think once the financial incentives are in place, right now, you know, the main financial tool of YouTube, for example, is advertising. So people advertise on our YouTube channels. Google takes a huge cut of that advertising budget, and they've created this fairly simple tool to use. I think once there's a tool that actually gives people 99% or 100% of their advertising dollars, rather than the huge cut that Google takes out, I think you'll start to see things shift. I see it as more like a matter of having simplicity of design and the right economics in place. Mm-hmm. But it's a huge opportunity for developers to create something that's more useful, more transparent, and just a better user experience. Mm-hmm. So I do think it will happen eventually. I don't think, you know, even if you look at the way technology has developed and so forth, it's only been about a decade or so since this kind of new power has been granted to these corporations, and I mm-hmm. think I think eventually they're going to lose that power.
Well, there, I think that might have been a misnomer there. You said granted I think he actually said earlier that we haven't granted. They've tricked us into saying, hey, why not connect with your friends? Great idea, huh? Yeah, right. In other words, they were gathering information on you to find out if you're a person that they deem viable to exist or have a message of your own. We got a question from Greg Kaiser from Steve Ells out of the YouTube chat. Do you think most humans can change their habits like using another site other than YouTube?
And most people change their habits so they start using another site?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think if there are the right incentive mechanisms in place, in other words, if people are actually rewarded more directly for their content, even for, you know, you put up a little video and you get more direct, say, for example, you get just a little incremental, a little bit of money from likes and that sort of thing, instead of going through the process of, you know, having to set up a YouTube channel and set up advertising and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that we'll see that there are opportunities to rapidly incentivize people to mm-hmm. get involved, and I think we'll see a massive movement at some point mm-hmm. when that new technology hits. And there are a lot of different things being developed now. I think mm-hmm. one of them is going to stick at some point, and it's going to be a much better user experience and a much better incentive model in place for the people mm-hmm. who create content like you do.
Well, Steve Ells, I got a two-word answer from me on that. MySpace.
Yeah.
Right? Or AOL. AOL, man. Hey, I don't know how long you lived in Italy, but did you ever get into the AOL internet discs? Or I don't know how old you are, but...
Totally. I installed those before I worked in tech. I've just been in Italy for a couple of weeks now, so I live in America, but...
Yeah.
I used to install those things.
That was
I had
you.
A MySpace account that, and all that stuff.
That was you, huh?
Yeah, that was me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Greg. See you tomorrow. That was you. By the way, if you have anyone just logging onto the program, we have with us Greg Kaiser talking about super aware intelligent machines all the way from Italy, staying up very late to talk to us tonight. Appreciate you so much, Greg. Second question come in for you. Why are most humans are habitual? Let's move on to another question for you, Greg. When these machines get intelligent enough, are they not going to communicate with themselves and develop their own programs?
In fact, it's already starting to happen that AI is developing itself in a way. There's AI that folks don't even know what is happening, essentially. So, for example, at Google, they're developing some algorithms where the developers don't even know how the AI solved the given mathematical problem. They just know that it did, and they have mm-hmm. no way of verifying how it did it. And so you have that happening, but at the same time, it's something called recursive learning, where the algorithms are learning and reprogramming themselves on the fly. And so that type of stuff is only going to increase over time as things continue to develop. So I do think, yes, they will continue to program themselves mm-hmm. and do so more and more and more.
Greg, who is this man to my right?
To your right? Oh, wow.
With the glasses?
That is. What's that?
With the glasses.
Oh, I'm not sure who that is. Nice haircut, then.
I got that off of one of your websites there.
Yeah.
So I thought you might know. You were in the background. I said, wait a minute now. What's going on here? All right, let's get another question here for you. This is from Scott Richardson. It says, Would Greg agree that AI needs truth and facts in order to grow all the lies the government purports is false data and does not compute?
I think in general, as AI algorithms run, the process will eliminate these lies and fictions and stuff that we're told, just because it's not going to care in the end about a government initiative or entity or whatever. It's going to care about the underlying goals that it has, which I believe will be mostly inherited from us and from our needs and wants and desires and so forth.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's another question. Are we not just another type of machine?
I think there's an argument to be made that our brains kind of are essentially just a bunch of algorithms that sit inside of gray matter in our brains and have developed that way over time and have fired up this these personalities that we have and so forth. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'm 100% there, but I believe there's this pretty strong argument to be made there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why did you write the book, Dear Machine?
I just felt that the AI is an increasingly important subject for people to consider, and its impact on our lives is only going to increase over time. And I felt it would be valuable to bring up the discussion and see what people thought, mm-hmm. have people kind of think about things on their own as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one point of view, but you know.
Well, now the title of it says "Dear Machine." Who are you writing the book to?
So the letter is it's a letter to a future super aware intelligent machine. I specifically say super aware. Intelligent machine instead of just intelligent machine, because I believe the idea of intelligence also involves awareness. In other words, being aware of all the different things that happen in the world and being aware of all the different needs and wants and desires of people and so forth. So it's a letter to this future machine, but at the same time, the letter to ourselves in a way, because I see that the AI increasingly will be an extension of our own intelligence and of our own wants and needs and desires.
By the way, those watching the program or listening on, well, those listening on TuneIn Radio, you can't answer this question, but those of you in the live chat, if you or someone you know has been banned or put into prison, in Facebook prison or banned from YouTube or had any deleted or any comments from those multimedia giants, just put yes in the chat. I'd like to know how much of the audience or have experienced that. Chuck Bam says, Greg, should we take the chip? Everybody's talking about a future when we're going to just have a chip installed in our wrist or forehead. Should we take it?
Shit, I won't be one of the first people to do it for sure. I mean, I think there's the opportunity where you can maybe get more information and so forth, especially if you consider the brain connection, the neural network or the neural connection and stuff. But I'm not going to be one of the first people to get it, and I think I would definitely wait a decade or so before if you want to jump in before you decide.
So you're, yeah. What you're saying is you want other people to take the chip, and then you'll see how it goes for them. And
yeah, I don't advise anybody to take the chip, but if they do, yeah. Fine, they'll be testing it for the rest of us.
But you are aware that there is such a thing out there.
Yeah, I just met somebody recently that had a chip inside of them, and they use it to buy beers in Prague by just waving the chip in front of the little computer. It seems cute, fun, and stuff, but to me, that's just like that's off limits for a long time, if at all. I mean, I don't really see myself having a chip inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Stack Stevenson: does the 5G network play a big part in artificial intelligence?
I think it could, just for the speed of connection, but I'm concerned about the technology in general, and I think we can do it. I think we can do it without going there.
Okay. Sounds like you got a lot of hope there. Steve Ells asked this question. Says, Greg, do you think God can control the supercomputers?
That's a question I'm going to have to... I can't really answer.
That's sort of a philosophical question there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a philosophical question that I really can't... It's not something I've really thought about in great mm-hmm. detail. I mean, if there's an all-powerful God, then I believe, mm-hmm. yes. It seems possible, but...
Mm-hmm. All right. Chuck, if you're watching, man, tell Grandma how to get to log into the YouTube there and get into the chat. Peter from Australia, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. You should be able to get into our chat. Here's a question from Doreen 8951. Do you have any questions or do you have any information on Nibiru?
Nibiru?
Yeah. It's supposed to be a planet heading this way.
I don't know what the Nibiru.
Nibiru, yeah.
I don't know what the Nibiru is.
It's Planet X, I think some people call it.
Oh, okay. The kind of hidden planet that's heading our way, that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any information on that. Mm-hmm. I would love to have some, though, so if anybody wants to share it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You?
Well, if it's coming this way, hopefully they're bringing me some extra cash. I mean, I heard there's a lot of people up on that planet, and they're coming down to go help us out. So,
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good, you know, some cash and stuff. And that's the thing about the whole alien agenda. I know that's not your forte, but I'm going to throw this out there. They call this program the Edge for a reason, Greg, so you have to hang on, man. No, they always say that the aliens are coming down to help us. But again, you know, I talk about all the movies, and every movie I've seen when aliens come down, they don't end well either, man. So whether it's a supercomputer or whether it's aliens, man, we're all doomed. But you're saying there's hope. There's hope in supercomputers to get us out of these messes.
Yeah, on the longer time scales, yes. I mean, if you just think about all the things that technology, you know, over time, I think we've gotten from the printing press to the computer and so forth, we've gotten increasingly free in a way. I mean, it seems like we're under the thumb right now, but we're much freer than people were 100 years ago or 200 years ago, 300 years ago. So I see that over the longer time scales that things will get more free. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, we might go through some turbulent times as the technologies develop and we throw off the governments and so forth that are causing, they're trying to exploit us and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the computers, the computer networks, are they, say, the Chinese computers, the Russian computers, the United States computers, is there a defining wall between them or are they already connected?
So, I mean, they're all connected to the internet in some way or another. I mean, I think as much as they try to put up walls, those walls kind of get broken down by, you know, by the other entities. So, I think they are connected.
All right. Well, we had a few people say that they're not going to take the chip, but I don't know. If there's probably already alternative technology. I know when I open my iPad, it scans my retina. Now, I'm really not happy about that, Greg. Now, do you use that sort of authentication?
I have one that has my fingerprint. I don't have a retina scan one. But, yeah, in general, I mean, I think even the shape of our face, it could be kind of a unique identifier for us, you know. So we have to be concerned with all the different ways that our data is being used and so forth. And that's why I think, using encrypted services and that sort of thing as much as possible can be helpful. But I definitely see that as being, a problem that our face is essentially a unique identifier that will somehow be in a computer and be easily detected across networks and across cameras. And mm-hmm. So the opportunity for surveillance will definitely, you know, it's definitely increasing in this period in my
Mm-hmm. Well, it just reminds me of the Minority Report, you know, with Tom Cruise. Everywhere he went, somebody was scanning his retinas, and I got a feeling this is just... So, again, it's almost predictive predictive movies, man. I mean, it can easily see that, you know, just logging on to the iPad is just a quick scan, but I can imagine walking through into a building getting a scan, too, in the very near future.
Yeah. That's believable.
But I tell you what, though, what I won't do is buy some black market eyeballs to defeat their security. I don't think I'm going to do that because sounds like they can't really do that. I don't know. Maybe they can't.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Doreen, 8951, asked this question. Do you think AI would ever crash the economy?
I think it could in a way that, including... things like blockchain and so forth. Our economy right now is so dependent on us consuming. And I could see a time when by getting smarter through these systems and so forth, we consume less and stop being the good shoppers that the advertisers and the corporations want us to be. So I could see it happening in that way. It's more like a moment where we all kind of like reflect and become just a little less under the thumb of the corporations and government and so forth. And then the economy crashes because we stopped doing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So, let me throw another quick question out to the viewers. Just a yes or no quickly again. Do you trust your computer? All right, there'd be a yes or no answer there. Steve Ellis asked this question. Do you think having an analog backup system should be implemented?
I think in general, I mean, in terms of analog and stuff, I generally think of digital that is encrypted and not necessarily. I think that's a good backup. But in general, yes, I believe in analog as well. I mean, I try to be without my computer on a regular basis and without my smartphone on a regular basis when I can be, just because I think, you know, I would like to be able to live in a world where I don't have to be connected somehow.
I pointed out in a previous broadcast, Greg, that there are some people in England that, and probably in this country too, that some have married trees. Some have married their. There's one person married a chandelier. Other people have married ghosts. I could easily see that in the future people will try to attempt to marry their cell phone. Would you say that's an outlandish statement, or do you think there might be some reality to that?
I believe somebody will say that they're trying to marry their cell phone. I'm not quite sure. Maybe they will. But then their cell phone's going to be out of date in 6 months to a year, and then they're going to be stuck with this. Their married one that is obsolete, which probably wouldn't be a great feeling.
You know, I take pride in asking you questions that you've never heard before, so
yeah,
don't thank me.
I'm trying to answer them.
So, you know, it's okay to say, what the hell? What kind of question is that? It's okay to say that. And then another question, of course, asks the question, do we rely on the computer too much? But Greg, you're saying in the future we're going to rely on them more because they're going to be our friend.
Yeah, but I think even at the same I think part of the key is, it's that one question asked, is disengaging a little bit from the computer and not giving them so much information and so forth, or only giving them kind of the information that really represents our true wants and needs and so forth. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever written software yourself?
I did a little bit of coding back in the day, in the mid to late 90s.
Like HTML markup, stuff like that?
No, I did some C++ stuff as well.
Okay.
For corporate systems, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I only ask him because it seems like you have a bit of a, you're more trusting, it seems, of technology. But we, it sounds like we agree, though, that there is sort of a competition between humans trying to make life better with computers, but in the world, Greg, there are so many nefarious forces. There are so many people. I'm going to say globalist, and this is the perfect tool. I mean, Hitler he'd be running America now if he had this tool of this technology.
Yeah, and I agree. But also, one of the reasons why I ended up kind of in this more optimistic point of view is because I also see it's important that we try to find a path that can, you know, that we can kind of go down that that. Does give us opportunities to make this technology better, to make this technology act on our behalf and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I'm a cowboy, Greg, and if I had a now you had a conversation where you said, "Dear machine," and I would say, "I was you son of a bitch machine. I'll kick your processor back to the Stone Age, man. I mean, I won't mess with him, man. You're writing love letters to him, man. I'll bust him in the chip."
You know, we need good cop, bad cop. So, I'd like to read your letter to the machine.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be so friendly. Dreamwalker says, Greg, how do you get around with evil people programming the computer? Well, I guess it's sort of right off what I was just saying, that, you know, obviously people are going to harness the technology, and they are, and it seems to me they got a running start. You know, and I agree with you that, theoretically, technology could be a great tool for humans. You know, maybe plant corn in Africa, in the desert, that type of thing. You know, stop chemtrails and stuff. You know, but I don't see it heading that way.
I have this kind of optimistic point of view because I see it as necessary. I think it could very well go very dark as well, but I'm hopeful, and I'm just pouring my energy into trying to see the opposite happen.
Okay. All right. See the positive. I agree with you. But even being optimistic about it, you're not deluded in the fact that, and I think you've expressed that there are forces that have that technology in their hands right now that shouldn't have it.
And they're trying to develop it. They're trying to develop it as well. But again, I think this is one of those things that's going to blow up in their face eventually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Have you ever seen the movie Extinction?
I don't believe I have, no.
Basically, that's a movie where it starts out with a family, and a guy goes to work, and he starts having some sort of flashbacks, and he has like visions of being attacked from space. And it turns out it's a twister. What happens is they reveal that the civilization on Earth, all look human, but they were all robots, and the humans had to leave the planet because the robots kicked humanity's ass, and we had to go to another planet to finally we built the technology up to come down and attack the Earth to take it back from the robots. I'm going to talk about a twist of fate, but I mentioned that movie because it seems that we are being desensitized to robots. I mean, certainly in Vegas, everybody's having sex with robots, I suppose, and in Japan, they don't want to touch each other, so they're having sex with robots. But they always, and then you got the robot dog, and you got robot here, robot there, robot everywhere, and they're trying to make the humans look like the bad guys, and the robots like the good guys. Are you picking that up as coming at you like that, or are you seeing that as not that way at all?
No, I don't really see it that way. I mean, I think often robots are shown to be a bad thing, and kind of something we should be fear and so forth. So I don't see that there's that. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's an agenda necessarily, but I could totally be wrong about that. Mm-hmm. There are lots of agendas under that mm-hmm. happen all the time.
Taking technology to its furthermost place, and I don't really, you don't have anything. I never saw anything from you about aliens, but let's just say, that is a relevant question. I mean, even Donald Trump was asked a question about that, about alien, the existence of aliens. They're releasing the video of Air Force jets, Navy jets. The Navy just issued a new policy for fighter pilots seeing to record events in the sky. So, I mean, they're coming out in mainstream. I've stopped seeing the articles of Kook says he sees a UFO. You know, nutbags running in the forest claim there's UFO. That's changed now. Now it's another sighting, they've violated our airspace, this thing and the other. But if they do exist and go way out into space, would they not already have time travel, a way to time travel?
I think that's very possible. Really, I think it's hard for us to even imagine what they could possibly develop, if they're, say, 1,000 years ahead of us or 2,000 years ahead of us in terms of developing technology and so forth. So I can't even imagine, but I think time travel could be possible in a way that we can't imagine now or that we can't understand, and pretty much anything else.
If you got an answer back from the machine that you wrote a letter to, dear machine, what would you think that letter, the response from the machine to you, would be?
That's a good question. I don't think I can answer that question right now. I think, of course, I would like it to be, yes, you're right. This is how things are working out, and I appreciate that you noticed that before other people did. But I don't see that, I have no idea where that's going to end up.
All right. Question came in and said, what would a country be like before computers? I don't understand that question, how it's written like that, but do you think it's possible that we could ever live without computers?
I think now that we're kind of past that point. That's like going back to also without having books and paper and so forth. I think it's just such a necessary thing or such a part of our lives that we've grown used to that taking that away or going away from that would be such a restriction of freedom and so forth that it would never happen.
Mm-hmm. You ever seen the movie Contact with Jodie Foster?
I did, yeah.
Okay, I think it's like the fifth movie I mentioned tonight.
Yeah,
tell you where I'm at. I don't watch TV, I just watch movies, man. But anyway, in the movie, the character, Matthew McConaughey, he said, we have all this technology, yet we're further apart. And I thought that was sort of prophetic there to say that like that. And, when you get, you say hello to somebody and they send back an emoji, and so many things have, as far as texts go to other people, are misconstrued because they can't really have all the inflections of it. And so many are misinterpreted and so many things are responding negatively as a result. But are we getting closer together with technology? Do you see a promise of AI bringing us together, or do you see a continuing separation?
I think it's both at the same time. If you think about, it's definitely making us kind of withdraw from our direct connections and our families and communities and so forth, and we're a little more kind of just focused down on our little machines. But at the same time, we're more aware of what's happening on the other side of the world and what's happening in other with other people that we otherwise might not be connected to. For example, my brother has lived here in Italy because he was in the American military and he's had kids and so forth. And before Facebook and all that stuff, I really didn't know what the hell was going on in their lives. But now, through these technologies, I know, and we have this kind of loose connection. And now when I see them, I'm more familiar with what their lives are all about, mm-hmm. and so forth. So I think it's happening both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to say whether that's a net negative or a net positive, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A question just came in from Steve, and I really like this question. This is so deep. Listen to this. It says, Greg, do you think a machine could be running with a belief system rather than pure logic?
Yes, actually I do, and I talk about this in Dear Machine a bit. I think eventually, so even a superintelligence is going to have a limit to its intelligence because there's just a limit to what we know and the data and stuff that it would have. And so, therefore, it would then need to go out into the world, kind of in a given direction, based on sort of a belief that that certain things are important, certain things aren't, so that it focuses its energy on expanding its intelligence in a given direction. So, yes, I do think a belief system will emerge. I think it'll be somewhat tied to nature and freedom of people and in general nature, mm-hmm. And health. How natural systems work and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. but I do in fact believe it will end up in that realm.
In the movie The Matrix, the machine tried to create a perfect world for humans. Though it was virtual, the theory still remains the same. They tried to create a perfect world, and in that perfect world, whole crops of humans failed. And let's just say, in the natural, let's just say they created a perfect world. We gave the machine that much control, and they started creating. Well, you know, and the machine says, okay, you've got to plant corn over here instead of over there. You need to have this city over here. You need to move this population here. You need to that person needs to stop his job. That person needs to get divorced. Is it possible that in that world that humankind would go off the rails just like in the Matrix in the virtual world? That crops of human, that the promise of the advancement that the machine promises would turn into chaos?
If the superintelligence emerges from our real wants, needs, and desires and understands how living systems work and how agriculture system works and how cities work and how our brains work and so forth, I don't think so. I think in general, we'll probably see the technology less and less over time, and we'll have a closer relationship with nature and with our farms and with all the things that are very important to us. And the technology will work in the background and kind of facilitate, mm-hmm. Kind of get out the frictions that are currently there and kind of facilitate having more free lives and so forth.
All right, from our Fast Blast platform, a question from Georgia: do you think AI systems will fight each other in a war?
I think the dominant one will. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think it's possible, but I think at the end of the day, mm-hmm. the most dominant one is going to have such a superior power that there really would not be much of an opportunity for a war.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in this comment, Greg, I'm going to go to a TV show.
Okay.
Star Trek. That was the exact scenario where two planets had left their computers to battle each other, and they predicted where they wanted the missiles to fall, even though they never fell, and they predicted that so many people died, and those people reported to the death chamber in a neat and orderly disposal. Is that not an example of, and rather than say planetary AI battle, that when it comes to it, that China and America agree we're going to have to fight this out, and instead of sending nukes, we're going to use our AI to declare which parts of the United States need to be eliminated, and vice versa.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think in the short term we definitely see something like that as this, as these systems become increasingly powerful and so forth. I could see a battle happening, but I think it would still be just a battle of humans assisted by AI and so forth. As things get increasingly smart, I think military intervention is a highly costly thing that no system that is looking for efficiencies and for satisfying goals as quickly and safely as possible is going to decide to spend money on military equipment and blowing things up and that sort of thing.
I don't know why this keeps coming up. Terminator.
Yeah.
Okay, Terminator built Skynet. And if you watch that series, you know that there was a point where they were building Skynet, and it came to the point of turning Skynet on. And when they turned, the Skynet was the promise. It's almost like what you're saying, the promise of a global nirvana.
Yeah.
By the computer-ran world, where it takes emotion out of everything, and the back-dealing and the payoffs and these kind of things, and the Clinton Foundation, those types of things, taking them out of the picture and just going strictly with the computer. But as you know, Skynet didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think also much of that, that entertainment plays into our ideas of good and evil and so forth, and I don't think it's all that realistic, but you know, I could be wrong, so and knowing that I could be wrong, I hope other people speak up about the subject as well, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that already are.
Thanks for staying up, man. All right, this is from our chat moderator, Jade. She says, since scientifically we have proven that humans inherently lie from birth, babies use deceptions to get their parents' attention, will AI learn to lie from our example? In other words, our negative parts be imparted as use into the machine?
Yeah, and I think even if it doesn't learn from us, I do think in a way it will learn to lie. For example, it might. In order to, so if you're thinking about it satisfying its goals and so forth, I think it would possibly manipulate us in order to satisfy its goals. So yes, I think the potential to lie is definitely there.
Wait a minute, Greg.
It might be for our own good, but I think it could. I think it could happen.
Now that's a pretty phenomenal statement there. You just agreed that the machine would lie to us to get what it wants. Now that's not the promise you were saying in the first hour.
I think it could. I think not everybody's going to be willing to accept a future in which this AI is supporting life and so forth. So I could see that some people would that the AI would say, okay, well, you know, this particular segment of the population needs to be lied to in order to
tell you what, there's some bitch computer lie to me, man. Boom, I'm going to smash it into more pieces than Hillary Clinton smashed her computer into, man. I'm not going to put up with a computer lying to me.
I hear you.
I don't take no lip from no computer.
I hope that's not the case. I hope it's more kind of like it shows us the truth and convinces us that, you know, a given way of whatever it is, operating our farms or doing commerce or doing our economies, it shows us through positive means and so forth, but just to say that, I think that potential is there.
Well, in the follow-up to the Skynet, alluding to the Skynet movie there, it was pure logic that the machine decided the humans needed to be eliminated. And wouldn't you say that, and you mentioned nature several times in the conversation, so if nature then, if humans impregnate into the machine a love for nature, inevitably the machine would see humans as a parasite, as the Matrix said, a virus that needed to, this, because in the Matrix the computer came up with the same conclusion. Humans are a virus. They go to an area, they use up the resources, and they move on. Now that sounds to me that can't happen in an AI world.
Yeah. So, but I think a more likely scenario is they're not going to be so concerned about time scales as we are, and so I could see, we know that as countries become more prosperous, they tend to reproduce less. And over time, so I could see a scenario where it goes, it sends us into prosperity in order to get us to reproduce less so that we have less of an impact on the world, sort of thing. So I think little adjustments of that kind of thing would be more likely than trying to kill us off and that sort of thing, just because that would conflict with so many.
Let me tenderly go down this road, because that's a key word, what you said, reproduce less. Now, I see, by looking at the demographics in many countries, that the educated, enlightened, so to speak, technologically advanced countries are reproducing less. And therefore, the answer to that, I think, has come up with is import some of the third world people that produce like rabbits, reproduce like rabbits to keep up the population. Japan is one. I mean, the numbers, the databases, numbers show that it is significantly decreasing, where you need 3.1 births, you're only getting 1 point something. But that being said, there are those that believe that there's a use of chemtrails in the skies to affect that, along with plastics and genetically modified foods and drugs of various kinds, to affect, say, even the sperm count, to decrease the population like that. In fact, to continue on, and then I'll let you answer this or address this, and this is the tender part of it, and that is the moving away from the standard nuclear family to alternative family, let's just say, where lifestyles don't lend itself for reproduction at all. You add those all together, isn't there already a depopulation effort afoot worldwide?
I think, I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't looked deeply into whether or not there is a concerted effort through chemtrails and through GMOs and so forth. I do think I'm concerned about all of those technologies, and I try to stay away from them in general in my life, knowing that it could impact my health and my ability to live a long life and so forth. But I don't know. That's a good question. I would love to read somebody's theories on how that's panning out and so forth. But there's definitely, as we get more prosperous, there's definitely a tendency to for us to reproduce less. Mm-hmm. Where that's coming from, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. But are you aware? Have you seen any of the data of the advanced countries and their decreasing repopulation numbers? You don't have to quote them, but have you seen those lists?
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question from Put Yahweh First says, will the up and coming AI FF-91 Faraday car try to kill us as it learns from us?
I sure hope not. I have no idea. I don't think so, but I mean, there might be circumstances where it happens, but I don't think it's going to be a concerted effort, but I could see some accidental things happening.
Looking at the advancement of computer and its ability to evaluate systems, would you think that a computer would believe socialism, communism, or capitalism would be the appropriate system to facilitate AI's decision-making process?
Well, I mean, I think if you look back through history and so forth, I think you see that capitalist systems are the most powerful means of making lives better for people and so forth. So I think that one would be honed in on. I mean, there's just real data that shows that they work better on the whole. So I think it would end up in that department. But I think it could also be, you know, it would have systems in place that seem kind of socialistic, but I don't think they will be. I think they'll just be incentive mechanisms that keep people involved and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Where is the main funding for supercomputers come from?
I would say right now the main funding is from governments and corporations. But also, as I mentioned, there's stuff happening in the blockchain space, which is being funded by crowdsourced from individuals that are interested in freedom and privacy and that sort of thing.
Greg Kaiser, in a percentage, looking forward to the superware intelligent machines taking their rightful place, I suppose. What is the percentage of helping humans versus killing humans?
What's the percentage likelihood? Percentage
more likely that it's they're going to end up, the overall end result, helping humans or hurting humans? 50-50, 60-40, what?
I don't know. I mean, I think these next 10 years, I think, are very important for determining what that number looks like. So it depends on how these next 10 years pan out in terms of how we develop these things and how mm-hmm. we kind of separate ourselves from the systems that that exploit us and gather our data and do the surveillance and so forth. So I think it's really up to us to try to embrace the technologies that can help mm-hmm. us and try to reject the ones that don't, but mm-hmm. Knowing that that's very difficult to do at the same time.
Greg, this question is for me. Greg, are you a robot?
I don't believe I am.
Okay. Throw that out there, because you never know, man. I mean, robots are getting more and more, you know, and you are kind of on the side of the machine, and I would expect that a robot, you know, would, you know.
Yeah, I could see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think but you're kind of putting out the hope that if AI gets out of hand, there'll be enough human software engineers to bring it back, to write a better program to fight off the AI that we created that's killing us. Is that your hope?
And in fact, if you look at the blockchain space, there are hundreds of thousands of software developers who are developing these tools that are much more transparent and endow us with much more privacy than the existing tools like YouTube and Facebook and that sort of thing. So there's mm-hmm. it's definitely growing, and there's huge incentive for people to leave their jobs at Facebook and go, you know, develop these more, these inherently better systems. But hopefully that continues.
In the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey, Dave, he tried to pull the plug, Greg, and the computer knew it, and the computer didn't like that. I would think the same thing would occur on a larger scale. If we put this thing in power, it's going to know that we're trying to pull the plug, and I imagine it's already figured that out and has defenses to stop us from pulling the plug.
Yeah, I mean, even if you think about the internet today, it would be very, very difficult to pull the plug on it. If you think about in the Middle East, when social media kind of led to those uprisings and so forth, it was pretty hard for them to clamp down on in Iran and so forth, where they were using social media, Twitter and so forth. It was pretty hard for them to clamp down, but they did. But I think increasingly the machines will be increasingly difficult to shut down. And on the whole, that will be a good thing, because it will allow people to continue to use them and to develop them.
Wait. No, it can't be a good thing, because I just said that they were after us, man. They were trying to get us, okay, and we're trying to pull the plug. And you just said it's a good thing that we can't.
I'll give
you that scenario. I mean, and others, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get to that scenario where they're pursuing us necessarily. So I'm on the optimistic side. But yes, if we get into a position where they're after us, then I would be concerned that we don't have the means to do that, to pull the plug, except, you know, hopefully being hiding out in the forest somewhere under, you know, some trees and.
There's not a network. There's probably not Wi-Fi out there in the forest. But with the advent of 5G, I think they plan on blanketing the planet with
internet
connectivity. Greg, I have I pulled this book from Amazon. Obviously, your book here. What was this book about?
So this book is about my childhood. When I grew up. So it's just a coming of age story. Just a fun. Has nothing to do with AI.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with AI. Okay, I agree. You know, that's fine. I just thought I'd put a plug in there for that book there.
Just a brief story. I lost both of my parents when I was a kid, and I grew up kind of running around on my own a little bit and running away from home. And so this is kind of the story of what I went through in order to, survive and get out of childhood into adulthood.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened to you, man. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I survived.
Mm-hmm. Did you look at any, or did you have self-inflection as to why that happened?
It was like disease. My mom died in a car accident. My dad of cancer. So they were kind of, I've always reflected on how it happened and why it happened and mm-hmm. how I got out of it and why I got out of it and so forth.
What did you get out of what?
Just, I mean, most people who kind of lose their parents as a kid end up being addicted or getting into drugs and so forth, and I kind of didn't take that path.
Okay.
So I survived. Yeah.
Did somebody come along and help you to make the right decisions, or did you somehow have the innate ability to know and have an awareness that you weren't going to go to the self-destructive route?
Well, actually, I went to a boarding school from 6th through 10th grade, and so there's a boarding school in Hershey, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. called Milton Hershey School. So the guy who created Hershey created this boarding school for kids from bad situations, and I think that was a key part of my being able to have that stability for the rest of my life, and so mm-hmm. to not be destructive and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever ask the question whether or not God exists during this time?
Yeah, absolutely. I asked it all the time, and my, you know, I used to go to church all the time with my mother and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, a belief of some sort was definitely part of what got me through as well.
Do you feel like you're on a life path that that God has placed you on, or how do you view that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I believe, you know, right now that doing what I do is kind of my purpose in a way. You know, maybe God put me on that path. I don't know, but strong mm-hmm. potential.
Have you had any supernatural experiences?
I wouldn't say supernatural. I've had psychedelic experiences with the use of psychedelic medicines, which have helped at different times in my life.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't done any recently?
No, not in a long time.
Good. Stay clean.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, man. As you're looking at computers, and it sounds like you're kind of following the computer trends, then perhaps maybe in a side road you should sort of keep your eye on spiritual matters too as well, because there are reasons for things, and you know, each of us seem like we have a path that we're to walk, and it's good to know that you feel like this what you have done here with this book particularly, that I guess and that you feel like, well, no, I can speak for you. I want to know then, what do you feel like this book would do for someone? What life improvement? Why would you think that you were given the desire to write this book?
I think the next, because I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, what I saw with the way our corporations kind of run our lives and so forth, and governments run our lives and so forth. I just feel that because I've sat around thinking a lot, I've had a given perspective, and I studied biology and genetics and that sort of thing. I have a particular perspective that might be valuable to this conversation. Mm-hmm. So what would it give somebody that reads? I think just a little more optimism that there, you know, that we might be trending in the right direction, and there are certain steps that we can take in order to increase the likelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, again, by disengaging with certain things and investing in certain areas of you know, certain innovations and that sort of thing.
Mm. I see a comment in the chat says, Greg is exactly where God wants him. We all are. So evidently, God wanted you on the program tonight.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So we got to find out, now. We got to find out why you're here. Sometimes you got to ask. Sometimes you got to look, man. If you don't look, you won't. You know, looking, knocking, it should be open unto you. Seeking, ye shall find. We're going to be seeking tonight. Basic question says, Greg, do you have any children yourself?
I do not. No.
Okay. Alrighty. One of the things that interests me when I research you as a guest is that I think you labeled it, there was a quote or a title of, said super intelligent entities. Now, mm-hmm. that just sparked my interest right there. You described mm-hmm. it as entities. Now, are you familiar with that you use that term? And if so, what does it mean?
Yeah, so I use the term entity because, and also just this whole idea of writing to a machine, because I think it plays, it gets people's attention and gets them to focus on a subject. Because I don't really think, you know, if you think about superintelligence emerging in the future, I don't see it really as a separate entity from us, but rather an extension of kind of our ideas and our work and so forth. So it's more just, I guess you would say, just a ploy to get people to pay attention to this subject.
Okay. Well, it certainly made me pay attention to you. So I guess in that, from that perspective, it worked. But that being said, there are those that believe that there is more to the machine than the machine. That, in fact, as it happened to Neil, the machine, he thought the machine, you know, computer was talking to him. It happened to be somebody on the other end of the line there. But, and I think, I don't know if the movie Ghost in the Machine actually talked about that, but is it possible that something other than data can inhabit a computer or the network and live on the network?
I don't think so. I mean, people often talk about consciousness emergent and stuff like that. I don't believe so. I don't believe it's the case. I think it'll just be, you know, really an extension of us and our wants and needs and desires and really a tool.
Desires.
Yeah,
explain. What do you mean desires in the mainframe? What is that?
No, I mean like our goals. When we program a computer to say, give us more information about how the world works, or we put into Google that we want to know, you know, how agriculture mm-hmm. works, or how, mm-hmm. you know, or where this plastic bottle, what the impact of this plastic bottle is on my health and on my system and so forth, that kind of stuff. So just what we really want to know about and what we're hoping to expand our knowledge into, I think will be what these tools actually do. I don't really believe that there's mm-hmm. necessarily going to be it.
One of the smartest minds on the planet, Hugo de Garis, who was a computer developer, who is a computer developer, suggested that we always, when we look at worlds out there, that we need to consider that there are worlds here, micro worlds, that worlds that live on the head of a pin, because we can always go larger and out in the planets, but we never think that there could be an exact opposite spectrum, smaller type of planets or civilizations. When you're looking at the human brain, there is electrical activity, some called, and then there's euphemisms like the spark of life and various things, and there's the Krillian photography that shows if you cut your hand off, it's still there, sort of an aura. So it does seem there is an electrical part to the organic nature of life. So if there is an electrical part, why couldn't those electrical forces exist on an electrical pathway into a processor?
Yeah, there could be, and people talk about the biofield that kind of surrounds our body and so forth. I just chose not to dive into that stuff too much, just because you know, the science isn't there yet, there's nothing I can say that's going to lend any more clarity to that subject. That's essentially why I didn't kind of go there.
Do computers exist now, Greg, that operate faster, quicker, or make more computations than the human brain?
No, still, the human brain is still the winner.
All right. Hey, yes, one for mankind.
Yep, most powerful machine in the universe.
Will the advent of the super-aware intelligent machines, SAM, or SAME, would they know the difference between good and evil?
I believe they will. I believe just as we, you know, collectively do, I think they will. We may have problems with individuals or groups of individuals that seem to not know, but I think collectively on the whole, humans do, and therefore these machines will as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg, turn yourself into this super aware intelligent machine. Turn yourself into it right now. I asked earlier the question about whether the machine, let's just use it as in general, general description of all of them, in the future world that you're describing, came up with, as you said, the conclusion that capitalism is the best system to run the planet while it's running humans.
Mm-hmm.
This machine was going to be asked, did humans evolve, or were they seeded from aliens, or was there a divine creator or designer? What would that machine say based on the logical conclusion?
That's a good question. I don't know where it could potentially end up. I think there might be data out there, information that kind of gives it an inclination to lead one way or the other, but I have no idea where it could possibly end up on that subject.
Mm-hmm. Statistically, is it more probable that life assembled itself or it had help?
I mean, if you think back to when life was first, you know, according to what science says in terms of when life was first sparked on Earth, there's still unanswered questions about how that actually happened. So, I mean, I think it might conclude that it was helped along, but I'm not certain about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can humans be hacked?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I think we already are hacked on a regular basis by the powerful forces that operate in our world, you know, that kind of manipulate us to think things that we otherwise wouldn't have and use images and videos and that sort of thing. I think the opportunities to do that are becoming less and less, but I definitely think, you know, AI will continue to be able to do that. I think as time goes on, it'll do less and less of that because it's not in our interest for that to happen. And, you know, I'm from the optimistic side that thinks that this ultimate intelligence will mm-hmm. help us rather than hurt us. But I think in the interim, we'll definitely see more mm-hmm. hacking of the human brain, hacking of us.
You suggested during the interview, Greg Kaiser, that humans, what I'm gathering is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that humans will project into the system, into the computer, our own, and you said our own wants and desires. So there is this projection, the impregnation of the human experience into the machine, and therefore there are choices that that machine would make based on those. Is the machine now, as I said in the movie Contact, Jodie Foster was being questioned by the people as to whether or not she was qualified to go into space, and they asked her, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "I don't believe there's empirical evidence either way." And you've kind of said that yourself a little bit in one way or another about whether or not we were designed or not. I think you kind of came down a little bit on some kind of help there. But they asked her that question, and she said, "Well, there's not evidence either way." And she said, or they said, "Well, 95% of the planet believe that there is some sort of deity or godlike creator out there. Are 95% of the planet delusional? And only 5%, including yourself as a possible astronaut, don't believe it's not true. Therefore, that projection of the belief that humans have this innate desire to serve a creator. All the religions have sort of a, there's a God and you serve him. Mm-hmm. Or worship him. Wouldn't the computer then, as we impart our humanity into the machine, see that and then want itself to be worshipped?
I don't think that would lead to it wanting to. I think it would lead it to giving us the freedoms to do as we want to, but I don't necessarily see how that would serve it. I don't see how it would serve its goals necessarily. I don't think it's going to go into a power trip as, you know, as like a human might with such power.
Well, it wouldn't be construed as a power trip. It would be construed as fulfilling the human desire to worship some sort of deity.
Well, I mean, I think it would allow us to continue to worship the ones that we already do. And not try to supplant those.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I would think that computers are there to create a certain amount of efficiency. Obviously, having human decisions is inconsistent, incoherent, many times chaotic, and diametrically opposed to other decisions. I'm sure that the computer, one of its prime directives would be to bring order out of chaos. Wouldn't it not say that there's too many religions, that there needs to be a singular religion?
Well, I think it would do what we did in the West in separating church and state, or separating separating religion from the government operations, separating religion from economic operations, and for it to be a truly personal thing as opposed to being integrated as it is in, and deeply integrated as it is in many countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, there would have to be major changes. For instance, I would think that there would have to be a worldwide council of some sort representing many countries for this system to work to its fullest extent. Would have to be a worldwide system, but you have major players, say such as China, that says there is no God, therefore there is no worship, and you have many more countries says that there is such a thing. Somebody's going to have to give some ground there.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the existing power structures are going to fall as this thing rises into and makes us. I mean, when I say it's falling, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's a super intelligence that's making its own, but it's us. Mm-hmm. Because we're smarter about how the world works, and you know, the population of China becomes smarter about how their government has been kind of manipulating them and so forth, and overthrows them essentially. Mm. So I think in order for this thing to work and continue to, you know, make life better and so forth, many governments are going to have to fall.
Mm-hmm. The technology in a cell phone is fascinating, and I think it's one of the reasons people are addicted to it. It puts so much control, instant information. So many other devices are controlled by it. People basically are just look at it all day long, carry it. It's fascinating, I suppose. But do you think that the technology that's in there, or anywhere, even including the D-Wave quantum computer, is it strictly the development of human engineering, or do you think that we've back-engineered technology from some other place or other time?
That's a good question. It's not something I've put a lot of thought in, so I can't say I have a good answer for that. But it sounds possible that we back-engineer things and that sort of thing and learn from elsewhere. You know, there's always things that that happen that governments want to kind of keep out of our interests and keep us not focused on. So I could see that being one of them.
Sure. All right, so Greg Kaiser, you're seeing a positive outcome from super aware intelligent machines. What's the time frame to bring into fruition, as you see it? Are we talking for singularity? I suppose 5-10 years. When?
I think we're looking at like 2030, that time frame, and where it starts. That's where I think these next 10 years are really important for us to kind of get our crap together and, you know, kind of get better systems in place for protecting our privacy and giving us the freedom that we need and so forth and not being exploited in that way. Mm-hmm. I think 2030 and onwards, then we'll start to see the major changes to, you know, to the world in general.
There's going to have to be some major clean out, because I know that when Yahoo executives, or not Yahoo, but Twitter executives, Facebook, YouTube, when they testified before Congress, they all lied. It's clear that all those CEOs lied to Congress about what they were doing and what their community, so-called community standards are. And we mentioned earlier that one of the fallacies, that one of the negative human traits is that we lie. And they certainly lie. So if they're lying, the board of directors and the people that are running these high-tech companies that are sort of running our lives now, making choices for us or against us, I'm sure those lies are now in their algorithms, are they not? And will we have to wipe them out, get them out before we ever advance?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do. I think we need to pour our time and energy in the opposite direction, the direction that, you know, creates the systems that we really want to, because ultimately these, you know, this increasing intelligence is going to scale whatever systems that we have in place. We don't want them to scale this, what we're in right now, right? We want them to scale the alternative, which gives us more freedom and less exploitation and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So after the program, man, are you gonna say ask God where He wants you to go next?
I might do that as I fall asleep. I think that would be a good question to ask.
Okay. Well, I'm sensing big things for you in the future, Greg.
Well, for you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been an amazing conversation. I appreciate your openness to discuss these matters and you know, ask the right questions.
Okay. Well, Greg Kaiser in Italy. When do you return to the United States?
Just a few weeks.
Okay. Where do you normally live? What state do you normally live in?
New York.
In New York? Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right, Greg Kaiser, I appreciate you being on the Ed Television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Yes, indeed. I'd love to.
Okay. I appreciate you staying up late, man.
All right.
All right. Get some rest, my friend.
My pleasure. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.